All right, we'll begin reading in verse 14. Let's stand together. We'll just read portions of this. I know that you know the story. We've read through this passage probably the third time here tonight.
Praise the Lord.
And we'll read verses 14 to 17 responsively. Then we'll go back down to 20 and read down to the end of the chapter. If you miss that, just when people read, start reading, all right? 2 Chronicles 25, notice verse 14. Now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? And it came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, Come, let us see one another in the face. We've read this before. Let's go down to verse 20. But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah, king of Judah, at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. And Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and the silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom and the treasures of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? Now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. There it is, the end of the story of Amaziah. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this evening. Again, it's a joy to be here. It's been wonderful to hear the great hymns of the faith, to sing them together, to lift up our voice to thee,
Amen.
To hear the special, to hear the choir. It's just been a blessing already tonight. But Father, we know we've come to this portion of the service. It's so vitally important.
Thank you,
and that is a preaching time.
Amen.
And I pray, Lord, that we would have ears to hear,
yes.
That would open our hearts to receive the truth of your word tonight. I do ask if someone's here that's lost, that tonight they'd get saved.
Yes.
And for the believer, that we would take heed to this very important truth in the Bible that we see here in the story of Amaziah. So bless the message, use it to bring glory to yourself, for we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now tonight we're going to continue to look at the life of the southern kingdom of Judah's eighth king. That's where we're at. And that is, of course, King Amaziah. Now, as we saw last week, some things about King Amaziah, if you look through chapter 25 at the beginning in 2 Kings, we learn he was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 29 years. His father's name was King Joash. If you remember, King Joash was the king that was hidden from Athaliah by Jehoiada the priest, who became his father, Joash's father figure. And then they brought him out at the age of 7, made him king. He reigned for 40 years. And his reign started out good, but went very bad after Jehoiada the priest died. And his father was slain by his own servants. That was his dad. And we know when Joash died, Amaziah became the king in Judah. And we read that in chapter 24 and verse 27, where it says at the very end, and Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, the Bible account of Amaziah's life is found, as with all the kings of Judah, in 1st and 2nd Kings and also 1st and 2nd Chronicles. In this case, Amaziah is found, his story, in 2nd Kings chapter 14, just 20 verses there, verses 1 through 20. And then here in 2nd Chronicles chapter 25, which really gives us a more detailed account of his life. Now, these accounts of Amaziah's life give us these two statements to summarize God's view of Amaziah. What did God think of him? Well, 2 Chronicles 25, 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. 2 Kings 14, 3, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all things that as Joash his father did, howbeit the high places were not taken away. So Amaziah would be one of those kings, as you're reading through the kings of Judah and Israel, well, primarily Judah, because we know all of Israel was bad. But he was one of those kings in Judah. In my opinion, after you read the story, you would leave there scratching your head as you read about his life, you know, because some of the things he did were good and they were right and commendable. And he did other things that were bad and that were wrong. And so tonight, this story here we're going to look at, this portion of it, will no doubt vividly illustrate this point. And unfortunately, as we just read here a moment ago, Amaziah will end his life on a sour note. I don't want to end on a sour note, amen. Do you? I want to finish well. Now, last week, we looked at two of the four events that the Bible records in Amaziah's life. The first one, look back at chapter 25, just glance down at verse 3 and 4. Kind of the first thing he did was he carried out the Mosaic Law. If you remember, he enforced that capital punishment in verse 3 and 4, well, actually verse 3. Now, it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king, his father. And that was the right thing to do. He was enforcing capital punishment on those that killed his father. And so that's one of the things that he did. And then last week we looked at his beginning to compromise, if you remember. And that is from verses 5 to verse 13. What did he do? By soliciting ungodly Israel, the north, to join him in the battle against the Edomites. He shouldn't have done that.
Right.
You remember the story. Amaziah begins to number his army. And he starts to tally and so forth. He gathers them together, all of those that are of age to fight. And he finds out that there's only 300,000 there. You say, well, only? Yeah, that's a small army for what it used to be. And we know he felt undermanned, so much so that he decides to compromise and go to the north, the sinful north, and hire 100,000 Israelite soldiers. And he pays them 100 talents of silver to come and help him. By the way, that's about $3 million in today's money. That's a lot of money. And of course, as he's beginning to compromise, we saw this last week, he is confronted in verse 7, turned my page a little too far there, by a man of God. Notice verse 7, but there came a man of God to him, saying, and so he rebukes Amaziah for doing this. He tells him to break the alliance with Israel and send them back. And Amaziah does that. He listens to the man of God. He sends them back, which really cost him some things. It caused him to lose his money, to sever that new relationship, kind of, if you will, with Israel. But he believed what the man of God said to him in verse 9 at the end. He believed that the Lord was able to give him much more than that. He believed that.
Amen.
Which brings us to tonight. And so he sends them back, and he goes off into battle. Here in our text, we read of Amaziah heading off into battle against the Edomites. And he wins a decided victory with only the help of God. Exactly what the prophet said happened. God helped him,
Amen.
And they won without the help of Israel. But he makes a tragic mistake.
Right.
You read it. We just read it together. I mean, the very first verse that we read tonight. Now, it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites that he brought the gods of the children of Seir. We'll stop there. Talk about it more in a little bit. So he makes this tragic mistake. So what does God do? Well, what he did before. He sends a prophet to him in verse 15. And we're going to go over all this. And this prophet confronts Amaziah. He brings God's message to Amaziah. He tries to reason with Amaziah, trying to bring Amaziah to his senses. But this time is unlike the previous time that the other man of God, it might be the same one, we don't know that, but he does not respond like he did to the first prophet.
Right.
In fact, we read him saying some pretty interesting things in verse 16. It came to pass as he talked with him that the king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? Amaziah gets mad.
Right.
He gets upset. And then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. So he tells the preacher, forbear. Now, what does that mean? Shut up. I don't know how else to say it. Be quiet. I don't want to hear it. Forbear. Stop talking. That's what he says to the preacher. By the way, it's a decision he's going to live to regret.
Amen.
Because he messes up his life because of it.
Amen.
By the way, so would you and I.
Right.
If that's how we handle the preaching of God's word.
Right.
Tonight, I got to thinking about what happened the first time and then what happened the second time. And I want to preach this message to you tonight that I've entitled, When the Preaching of God's Word Doesn't Affect Us Anymore. When the preaching of God's Word doesn't affect us anymore. You know, one of the primary methods that God uses to reach the hearts of both the lost and the saved is the preaching of God's word.
Amen.
That's God's method.
Praise Jesus.
We read in Titus chapter 1 and verse 3. Listen to this. But God hath in due times, watch this, manifested his word, how? Through preaching.
Amen.
That is the primary way that God manifests his word to the multitudes, if you will, to the group, to the local church. It is through preaching, which is, Paul says, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. You see, it is through the preaching of God's word that God speaks to his children.
Amen.
It's through the preaching of God's word that God encourages us and even rebukes us at times. He tries to reach our heart. He tries to awaken his children to their spiritual need through the preaching of the Bible. That is why being under the sound preaching of God's word is so important. It's essential.
Amen.
Sidebar. That's why, by the way, when the preaching of God's word is taking place, we shouldn't get up and walk around.
Amen.
We shouldn't leave unless we absolutely have to. I get it. Some people have physical conditions. I'm not talking about that. That's why we shouldn't talk.
Amen.
When the preaching of God's word is going forth. That's why we shouldn't text. When the preaching of, come on, here's what I say. Really? That's why we shouldn't sleep. during the preaching of God's word. Amen? I mean, I could go on and on. That's why we shouldn't get up during the invitation. That's the most important time when finally we come to the apex of the message and it's time for us to make a decision for God and people leave. Bow your head to pray and get up and, you know, 5, 6, 7 people are gone and you see them out in the hallway. What is that? Right. Have we forgotten what's taking place here? Have we forgotten what's going on here? Amen. This is the preaching of God's word. It is so important. That's why the Apostle Paul gave this charge to the young Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's what he told Timothy to do. Right. Timothy, this is what you're to do. This is how God reaches the hearts of his people, Amen. Of his children, through the preaching of the word of God. Amen. That's why Paul also told young preacher Titus, Titus 2:15. He said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke. Watch this. With all authority, let no man despise thee. You see, being under the preaching of God's word is vital to a believer's spiritual growth. You need this. We all need it. I need it. We need the preaching of God's word. But you know, it is possible for us to become indifferent to the preaching of God's word. It's possible for us to become hardened to the preaching of God's word. Cold to the preaching of God's word. Even like Amaziah here, get disturbed and even angry at the preaching of God's word or the preacher. And you know why that happens? Because our heart's not right with God.
Right. Amen.
I'll say it again.
Right.
Because our heart's not Amen. Right with God. You know, that's interesting what Paul told Timothy in that same passage of 1 Timothy 4. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrines, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You know what he's telling Timothy here? He says this, no matter what the reception is, Timothy, you just keep on preaching. You just keep on preaching the word of God, whatever, however they respond. By the way, that's not an unusual thing that God told his preachers. Boy, I think of Jeremiah 1:8, where the Bible says, God's telling Jeremiah, we're going to get back to some of these passages. He said, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Oh, I think of Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 3, where he said this, if I can find it. And he said unto me, son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them.
Amen.
In other words, Ezekiel, don't worry about their faces. Don't worry about what they look like. You just keep preaching the word of God, because that's what God's people need.
Amen.
We need the Bible. I had an evangelist friend of mine tell me years ago. He said this, and I'm going to let him have the quote, and I agree with it. He said, I can tell you in the first 5 minutes of a chapel service who the spiritual kids are and who the carnal kids are and who the in-betweeners are. He said, I can tell you in the first 5 minutes. Anybody who's preached to youth can do that. It's very easy to do. And by the way, every church service could be the same way. You can tell when people are with you and when they're not with you. You say, how so? Well, their countenance is one. Their face. Their expression. Sometimes it's their body language. I got left. I mean, you know, somebody's sitting there. Imagine sitting up here preaching to someone. I mean, you know, you just don't look at them. You look somewhere else. That's just the way it is. I mean, their attentiveness, you can see it in their eyes. Unless their eyes are closed. And that happens sometimes. But I'm telling you, any preacher that's been at it for any amount of time can tell you, it's not hard to tell who's with you and who isn't. And it's always such a joy to preach to people who are with you.
Amen.
It is. I remember when we were in Grace Baptist there in Oxford, and my wife remembers Ryan Gulledge. He had come in, and Ryan was, I mean, he was, you could just see it, he was drinking it up. I mean, everything that came out of the Word of God, he would sit on the second row to the left. His eyes were big. He was ready. He was there early, ready to roll. He had his Bible open. And man, I mean, I could have just preached to him all night because I could tell he just like more and more and more. And he's like, oh, keep going, keep going. Amen. That's the kind of guy he was.
Praise the Lord.
Maybe that's the kind of person you were. What happened? By the way, this can happen to all of us.
Amen.
It can happen to any of us.
Right.
So I ask tonight, has the preaching of God's word lost its effect on you? Think about that. It's very important. Let's kind of look at this story here and see if we can't figure some things out about what's going on with Amaziah. Notice number one, the wrongdoing of Amaziah. Well, it's simple. I think we get this. This is not rocket science here. It came to pass in verse 14. What was his wrongdoing? After that, Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, and that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed himself before them and burned incense unto them. So there it is. After he sends away the Israelite army of 100,000, he lost his money. They're gone. He goes out. We don't hear about the battle here, but we do hear that he came back and he won, and it was a good thing. But he did something sinful. He did something wicked. He did something foolish. Something that was highly offensive to God.
Amen.
Look what it says he did. He brought back the idols of the Edomites. He sets them up to be his gods. And then here he is. He's starting to bow himself down to them and worship them. I don't know about you, but when I read that, after he had just dealt with the prophet, I asked myself, why did he do that? Why in the world did he do that? I mean, he just heard from the preacher that said God would be with him. God gave him the victory, and he brings back their idols and sets them up and bows down to them. Why?
Right.
Well, some commentators speculate that maybe he was captivated by the way they looked. They were beautiful, the beauty of these images. I don't know about that, but maybe he was. Some say that he hoped by honoring these gods that he would appease their vengeance on him for conquering his worshipers. The truth is, we don't know why. The only answer is this, sin.
Right.
It's sin.
Right.
He sinned. Amaziah chose, let's just make it simple tonight. He chose to sin.
Right.
By the way, that's what we do too when we do something wrong. We choose to sin, and God's going to deal with him.
Amen.
Now, the truth of the matter is, we all sin,
right,
even after we're saved.
Right.
Go ahead, polish your halo up tonight. Tell me about how wonderful a person you are. Again, you say, preacher, come on now. I don't bow down to idols. I don't do that. Well, we may not be bowing down to idols and worshiping them and burning incense to them, but maybe our sin that we commit is something more acceptable. Or maybe it's even a secret sin, something people aren't seeing.
Right.
Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe there's bitterness in your heart about something tonight. Maybe you have an anger problem. I don't know. I'm just throwing a bunch of stuff out there. I'm shooting a shotgun right now. Maybe it's unkindness. Maybe you're just not a kind person to people. Maybe you have a lying tongue. Maybe you're unfaithful to God's house. Maybe you don't tithe and you know you should. You don't. Maybe you don't witness. Maybe the sin of nothing. You're apathetic. Well, preacher, I don't do anything wrong. Well, do you do anything? Well, that's the problem. I don't do nothing. Nothing for God, nothing. I'm just there. That's just as bad as committing a sin. A sin of omission is as bad as a sin of commission. My point here is this, a simply foundational point here, is that none of us have arrived. We all have to deal with sin. Amen. Sometimes we come to church and there's something that the preacher hits. We got to deal with it. God speaks to our heart. Again, this happens again and again. This is a part of the Christian life. As we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, we mess up, we get right, we do that, we get right. That the goal is to have less and less. We're not sinless, but we should sin less, right? But none of us have arrived. We got to deal with sin on a regular basis.
Amen.
1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The very worst thing to be to do is to come in and say, well, there's nothing wrong with me. Well, I think there probably is. In fact, there's probably things, I'm sure, in my life and your life that God knows he's trying to get our attention about. And we just keep plowing on, doing what we're doing. And God's trying to wake us up to something in our lives. We all have to deal with ourselves.
Right.
It's part of the Christian life.
Amen.
We do wrong.
Right.
So we see the wrongdoing of Amaziah. And so how does God deal with us? Well, that's number two, the reaction of God. So, look at verse 15. Wherefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah. And so, God's not happy with Amaziah.
Right.
As a matter of fact, he's angry at him.
That
word kindled. You ever feel that way when you get angry at something? You know, you're just kindling. It's like you're ready to blow. You know, God's that way. It's kindled against Amaziah, and he wants to get his attention. He wants to deal with him, confront him, rebuke him, awaken him to what's happening here. And he does this, watch this, because he loves Amaziah. Because he doesn't want Amaziah to mess up his life. And he does the same thing with us. He wants to get our attention. So what does he do? Again, look at verse 15 in the middle. And he sent unto him a prophet.
Amen.
A preacher.
Praise
to deliver God's message. Now, I don't know. We don't know. But I always wondered, is that the same guy as verse 7? You say, well, one he calls a man of God and one he calls a prophet. True. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But either way, it's the word of God that's being delivered.
Amen.
Now, two things I want you to think about this prophet. First of all, number one, he was sent by God.
Amen.
Don't miss that. And he sent unto him a prophet. Now, that's important because this man did not show up and give him his own opinion.
Right.
He did not come to Amaziah of his own accord.
Right.
He did not come to Amaziah of his own volition or because he wanted to pick on Amaziah. He was sent by God to preach to Amaziah. Again, God sent him because he had a message for Amaziah. He wanted to speak to Amaziah. He wanted to get a hold of his heart. And so he sent a preacher.
Amen.
Now,
praise the Lord.
Isn't that God's way? I say, isn't that God's way?
Right.
It is God's way.
Amen.
We see it again and again and again in the Bible. When David sinned with Bathsheba and murdered Uriah, what did God do to get his attention? Well, we read in 2 Samuel 11:27, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Very next verse, 2 Samuel 12:1, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David.
Right.
A man. He sent the preacher there. New Testament as well. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? I know that's talking about the gospel. I get the context. But the point is this, that the preacher is sent by God.
Amen.
That's God's way. Now, go over to Jeremiah chapter 1. I mentioned this verse, but we'll look at it a little more closely here. Jeremiah chapter 1. Notice God again and again in the Word of God sends a man called of God to deliver his message. These prophets and preachers are sent by God.
Amen.
Jeremiah 1:4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, I'll give you a second to get there. Are you there? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth.
Amen.
Sent of God to deliver a message, a man. Ezekiel 2:3, I mentioned this verse a little earlier. And he said unto me, to Ezekiel, God said, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. Again, so the prophet, the preacher here we're seeing, is sent by God to speak to God's people. John the Baptist, John chapter 1 and verse 6. And there was a man, sent from God whose name was John. So understand something. When you sit and listen to any man of God, Amen. Preach the word of God, anybody, let me ask you, do you see it that way?
Praise the Lord.
Do you see it that Amen. Way? That God has sent this person here for such a time as this. He's put me in this auditorium. This is the message for me. God has something he wants to talk to me about.
Right. Amen.
Because that's what it is.
Praise the Lord.
That's exactly what it is. So he was sent by the Lord. But then I noticed the second thing about this man, and that is this. He was straightforward in his message.
Amen.
Well, you know, he didn't hem and haw about this thing. He just went up to him, and he says in verse 15, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? His message was very simple, and it was very straightforward. It really was kind of a twofold message. I believe the first fold, if you will, the first part, he was telling Amaziah, listen, your actions violate the word of God. What you are doing goes against what God has said. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know the commandment, Exodus 20 and verse 3. What did God say in the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. He's saying, Amaziah, listen, you went against the word of God.
Right.
This is what the Bible says, Amen. And this is what you have done. That is sin.
Right.
You know, whenever we violate, it's so simple, but I'm saying it anyway. Whenever we violate one of God's commands, it's a sin.
Right.
Whatever the command is, whatever the principle is, God is not pleased with that. He's not happy. Our God hates sin. Amen. Sin angers our God, as we see in our passage here, and it will bring forth the chastening hand of God.
Amen.
And understand, when the preacher preaches the word of God, see it that way.
Amen.
And by the way, that's why preachers ought to name sin. Specifically,
right.
Well, you all ought to behave yourselves really nice, to treat one another nice. No, we need to name it.
Amen.
People need to know. And by the way, a person that wants to hear the preaching of God's word wants to know.
Amen.
I remember that same guy I was talking about, Ryan Gulledge. When he had first started coming to our church, and he was just so excited about the preaching, and I could just see it. And I said something in one of my points. I forget. I went through one of those things where you're making an application and you just hit all these things. That's why we shouldn't go to the beach. And that's why we should dress modestly. That's why we should do this and card playing and that sort of thing. I mean, I just went blah, 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 just to throw some things out there. And at the end of the service, he came up to me. He said, "Pastor Moore, can you do me a favor? Can you tell me what those things were again? Just say them slowly. I want to write them down." That's somebody who's hungry for the Word of God.
Amen.
That's concerned about God and their relationship and sees the preaching as it is.
Amen.
So he was straightforward in his message. He not only showed that Amaziah's actions violated the Word of God, then he kind of really tried to reason with Amaziah that his actions violated logic. Notice what he says there. He says, in the end of verse 15, "Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand?"
Right.
Why would you go after what you call a god when they couldn't even protect their own people that were worshiping them?
Right.
And now you're going to worship them? That doesn't even make sense.
Amen.
What I'm saying here is he gets very pointed with Amaziah. He gets very specific with Amaziah. He's not afraid to confront Amaziah. He's trying to get him to come to his senses.
Amen.
That's what he does.
Right.
And that's all because that's what God wanted him to do. That all came from God.
Amen.
So we see the wrongdoing of Amaziah. And then we see the reaction of God. Then what happens? Okay, so the preacher comes and says those things, which leads us to number three, the response of Amaziah. And this is really the heart of the message. Look how he responds to this man. "And it came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel."
Amen.
Now you would have thought, I would have thought after reading the previous preacher and how he responded to it, you would have thought when this guy came to Amaziah, he would have said, "Oh, you're right. I'm going to get rid of these gods. I'm going to burn them.
Right.
I'm going to make them dust. I'm going to throw them in the brook Kidron and they'll be gone. I'm going to smash them up just like Moses did with the golden calf. I'm going to get rid of this thing." But he doesn't do that. When he's confronted by God's man, he cries out, "Stop talking, forbear. I don't want to hear what you have to say." Interesting, isn't it?
Right.
You see, the preaching of God's word or the truth here didn't affect him anymore. Why is that? Well, his heart.
Right.
That's why.
Amen.
It was a heart problem.
Right.
Listen closely. The problem's not God.
Amen.
The problem's not the preacher if he's giving the word of God in the spirit of God, in the spirit of Christ, grace and truth. It's not if he's giving, if it's what he's saying is right there in the Bible. The problem's not God. The problem's not the preacher. The problem's not the message, as long as it lines up with the Word of God. The problem was Amaziah's heart.
Amen.
His heart.
Right.
His heart became hardened.
Right.
To the things of God. Whatever. And you know, as I was reading his responses in verse 16, I think we see some things that indicated he had a heart problem that we can probably relate to. What happens to us when we hear the preaching of God's word and listen to the preacher when our heart's not right? Well, we see what happens here with Amaziah. Here's some things. Number one, I think this. He forgot God's methods. Here's what I mean. He forgot God's methods. Look what he says here. "Art thou made of the king's council?" Now, what's that mean? Well, the king's council were the council of the king. And they would be the one that gave him advice. And he's saying, "Who do you think you are? I never asked for your opinion. You're not part of my council. I didn't ask your side of things. If I wanted to hear from you, I would have asked you." You see, what happened was he forgot God's methods. God's method. He calls preachers to proclaim his word. Watch this.
Amen.
Whether someone asks for it or not.
Praise the Lord.
That's what he does.
Amen.
That's what he does. Who do you think you are? That's the response many people have when their heart's not right.
Right.
Well, who do you think you are, preacher? Telling me how to raise my family. Telling me what music to listen to. Telling me how to dress when I go out in public. Who do you think you are? That's an indication that something's wrong with the heart.
Amen.
Who do you think you are telling me how to raise my kids? Telling me I shouldn't work during church. Who do you think you are? You don't know my financial situation. Telling me to tithe. You don't know what I'm going through. That's the indication of somebody
right.
who has a heart of Amaziah. His heart. They're missing the fact that God's method is to take a man called man of God and confront you
right.
and me
praise
with
the
truth.
Amen.
And I'm saying this again.
That's
God
right.
does this because he loves us.
Thank you, Jesus.
He loves us. Listen, if I'm going to walk off a cliff, I want somebody to tell and not realize right. it. I want somebody to say, hey, buddy, there's a cliff right there. You better watch out.
Right.
Not just, oh, whatever. God loves us, so he calls us
Amen.
Back to our senses. That's what he does. You know, 1 Corinthians 3:15. I'm seeing if I can find it real quick. I like this verse here. It says, I'm sorry, 3:5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?
Amen.
God sends preachers. Why? That's his method. Amaziah forgot that.
Right.
I didn't ask you. We didn't have to ask him. God sent him. Then I saw a second thing that indicated his heart was wrong. Not only did he forget God's methods, but he found fault in God's man.
Right.
Look what he says here. He says, forbear, why shouldest thou be smitten? Talk about me being smitten. You're the one who should be smitten. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, oh, so you think you're perfect, huh? You're telling me I'm doing wrong. What about you? Huh? What about your life? Well, what about you? Like you're holier than thou, huh? You're better than us, huh? Is that what you're saying? Like you don't do anything wrong. That's what happens when our heart is cold to the word of God. You know what we do? We look at the preacher and we find fault in him.
Lord have mercy.
By the way, look long enough, you'll find it in anybody.
Right.
You will. You'll find it in anybody. You're missing what's going on
Amen.
Here. Let me show you something. Go back to Numbers chapter 16.
Amen.
Numbers chapter 16. You remember the story here. This is exactly what happened with Moses.
Right.
Moses was called of God. Moses was
right.
sent by God. These people didn't want him to tell them what to do. And instead of getting angry at God, they got visibly, they were in essence, they got angry at the man of God. Notice number 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, here it is, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. Who do you think you are? We can do what you do. What are you better than us? You're holier than us. We're just as good as you are. That's in essence what they're saying here. Every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Wherefore then, notice, lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. That's what they're doing. They're finding fault in him. Again, who do you think you're perfect? You think you're better than us? No preacher thinks they're better than anybody. In fact, we have the same sin nature that everybody has.
Right.
But a preacher's called of God to deliver God's message to God's people. But when your heart's not right, you're going to forget that God sent him, and you're going to find fault in that man. By the way, I found out that when somebody's got their nose out of joint, they're going to find something.
Right.
You preach too long. You preach too loud. You preach too short. I don't hear that too often. You use the same phrases all the time. It's always a three-point outline, and you use a story at the beginning, and then you clap your hands and your veins stick out, and boy, I'll tell you, it's the same old thing. Well, go ahead, just start picking apart. But you're missing what God's trying to do in your heart. You're missing it. Don't look at the messenger and miss the message. Again, there is no perfect man. Well, he doesn't do this enough. He doesn't soul win enough. He doesn't visit me enough. And, you know, and I'm not listening to him. Go ahead. Go that route. You're only doing yourself an injustice. You're only hurting yourself. Amen. He never mentions me in prayer. Whatever. You're missing it. Years ago, I had a man... I wanted to laugh. I really did. He's not here. But anyway, I had a man. He got upset at a message I preached. Did you believe that? I don't know how you can do that. He got upset. And he said to me, I'm going to stop tithing. I was like, do you think that's hurting? Like, he was getting me. I'm going to stop tithing. That's what I'm going to do. I'm thinking, I didn't say that. You're a fool. You're only hurting yourself.
Right.
You're missing it. You're getting mad at the messenger instead of listening to the message. Look beyond the messenger. You'll find, when we have Jubilee, we have all kinds of preachers up here, all kinds of different stuff. Amen. Don't sit there and pick apart, well, I like the way he does it, and I like the way he does it. He laughs too much, and that kind of thing. And, you know, pick on everyone. Don't do that. God has a message for you. If the word of God is being delivered, no matter who it is, he has something for you in that message. And don't fold your arms and say, well, I don't like him. I just don't like him. You're only hurting yourself.
Amen.
And you're going to end up a mess. So he forgot God's methods. He found fault in God's man. And then thirdly, I noticed this, the obvious thing was this. He failed to respond to God's message.
Right.
He just didn't respond. He wasn't budging. He wasn't moving. He didn't do it. He wasn't giving in. No matter how true the message was, he's not responding to that.
Right.
No. Tell me all you want about the gods of Edom. Quote Exodus chapter 20 all you want. Because I ain't budging. I ain't budging. You know what that is? That's a heart problem. That's a heart problem. If the truth is being preached and it's right there in the Word of God and you fold your arms and you say that I am not budging, something's wrong with your heart.
Amen.
And we can all get there.
Right.
We can get, our heart can be so messed up that we can hear a message on soul winning and we don't go soul winning, we don't witness, we don't hand out tracts, but guess what? It just bounces right off of us.
God forbid.
We don't respond anymore. We don't respond anymore. We can hear a message on whatever, you name it. I mean, I could go down the list. It's time for the invitation. Guess what? Be careful.
Amen.
Be careful.
Right.
Don't look at the messenger. Listen to the message.
Right.
And by the way, many that do that, that don't budge, they justify their lack of response by making it a battle between the preacher and them instead of what the real battle is between them and God.
Amen.
That's what happens.
Right.
What a sad place to be. It's kind of like what happened. This is exactly what happened in the southern kingdom of Judah with Jeremiah. Do you remember what he said? And it's, this is Bible language, but he said it. He said, therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. In other words, you become a whore's forehead. She sinned and sinned and negated it so much that she has become numb to her actions. And that can happen to all of us. We hear about the message. We hear it again and again. We know we're not where we ought to be. We don't respond to it. And what happens is our heart gets so hard to the things of God.
Amen.
We could say another thing, and I just thought of this, another thing that indicates it, and that is this, familiarity. Familiarity. When you listen to the same man over years, same type styles of sermons, that you become so familiar with it that you kind of zone out. You zone out. I've heard many preachers that have said when they've gotten older, they said, I knew it was time to leave the church because this is what they said. I've lost my effectiveness. In other words, the people have gotten so used to the same type of preaching, the same style, the same routine, that it just becomes apathetic with all the things of God. We can all get there.
God forbid.
We can all get there.
Amen.
So I ask you tonight, how are you responding to God's word? Well, preacher, you got about 3 minutes here. You better hurry up. Going a little late now. Going a little late now. Yeah, that's a problem.
Amen.
That's a problem. Because God has something for us.
Praise Jesus.
By the way, it's more important than your McDonald's french fries after the service.
Amen.
Is what's going on in this room.
Amen.
Your snack can wait.
Praise the Lord.
The ice cream can wait. We need the preaching of God's
Amen.
Word. And one last thing and we're done. We saw the wrongdoing of Amaziah, the reaction of God, the response of Amaziah, and then the result of Amaziah's decision. Well, what happened? Well, you read the story. We're done right here. But you read the story. He lost. He lost the battle. He went up with Israel, God, because of what he did. And we read that I'm over here in Numbers. We read that in our text, 2 Chronicles 25, where it said, in verse 20, but Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies. Why? Because they sought after the gods of Edom.
Amen.
He wouldn't listen
right.
to the preaching of God's word. And so God judged him.
Right. Amen.
God chastened him. They were defeated. You know the story. The walls were broken down. Hostages were taken. All the stuff was gone. And it ended up, I read a little further than we did last time, and that is this, that the people of Judah even made a conspiracy against Amaziah, and he died. Why is that? Because of the preaching of God's word. Didn't affect him anymore. And he ended up defeated.
Right.
In a mess. All because he didn't listen. To the preacher who preached God's word.
Amen.
Oh, preacher, you're trying to get us to worship you. No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Amen.
I'm trying to get us to listen to God's word.
Right.
One more verse, Ezekiel 33. Would you go there?
Amen.
This is the place we do not want to get to.
Amen.
And I'm going to ask you, is this where you are?
Good.
Ezekiel 33. Notice in verse 30. And they, speaking to Ezekiel, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. Preacher, that was a great story you told at the beginning of this message last week. Well, it's a neat outline. That's not the point of the message.
Right. Amen.
The point of the message is, what are we going to do with it?
Right.
Have we gotten to the place where we're just going through the motions? When our heart is not where it ought to be, that's exactly what's going to happen. We'll forget that God sent whoever it is in this pulpit or in the pulpit preaching the word of God. We will. We will start to pick on that person if our heart's not right with God. That we will have that old familiarity will be there, and we won't respond to God's message. That is a recipe for doom.
Amen.
For Ichabod over a church. I don't know about you, but I don't want that to happen to me.
Amen.
And I don't want that to happen to Capital Baptist Church.
Amen.
Let's come listening, ready to right. hear, and ready to obey what God wants.
God help us. Amen.
Looking forward to the preaching of God's word. Not because of me, but because it's the word
right.
of God.
Amen.
Have you lost your sensitivity
right.
to the word?